On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Very good morning to you, Fabian Fanboy. Are you there?
Hi, you dropped out for a second there.
Oh, now you drop back in. Hi.
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
I hear you've been hobnobbing pretty hard out this
hobnobbing.
Week. Were you talking to Jordan Peele, I read somewhere?
Oh yeah, that was a few weeks ago. Yeah. For us, yeah, that comes out in theaters today.
Tell us all about it.
Yesterday in New Zealand.
Tell us all about it. Some people went to the preview; they're very excited.
Yeah. Well, I imagine a lot of people. It's been in theaters there for a day, so I imagine a lot of people have seen it. But I really liked Us. I liked Get Out a lot. Us is a film that is very strong in its pure kind of cinematic presence. It's very tense. It's got very interesting visuals. It's only when, you know, it's centered around this idea of this family on holiday.
Not a lake house. Tell me it's not a lake house, is it?
No, it's Santa Cruz, California, which is where they shot The Lost Boys.
Cool.
We named it Santa Carla. So it's like seaside pier with, you know, an amusement park, that kind of thing.
Where like young people don't have to work in that. It's cool.
The big idea at the heart of this film is that they're being attacked by people who look exactly like them. That, you know, when you market your film on that idea, you better have a cool explanation for it. And it's when this film gets into its explanatory phase that it lost a bit of its power for me, because although it is a very strong kind of thematic quality to it and a very strong tonal quality, the actual logistics, the straight facts of what's happening, I was not entirely satisfied by what I was given in that regard. So although the film works on a purely cinematic level, on a give me some answers level, which I think the film, there's a reasonable expectation on a film like this to provide something interesting in that regard, because it sets itself up as a sort of big idea movie. But I still think it's very much worth seeing, and it's a well-deserved hit. It's opened ridiculously well over here last week, and it shows definitely that he's the right guy to do the new Twilight Zone, which is what...
Is he doing that? Wow!
Cool. Yeah, that comes out here very soon, I think. And he's like the host of it, too. And he's two films, and he's a very interesting genre filmmaker, and I can't wait to see what he does next. But I felt like he maybe needed to give us something a bit more tangible in the final third of this film than what he did give me.
I feel in the past, when you've been talking about movies, I feel sometimes you have been prepared to let a few sort of less than watertight plot twists just fly by without too much analysing.
I very much have. I love ambiguity. I love things remaining unexplained. I love an intangible quality to certain things. In this particular case, I went with it to a certain degree on that, but I felt like the way the film sets itself up, you know, I always say you've got to meet a film on its own terms. I feel like the film invites an expectation of something a bit more tangible than they gave us. But yeah, I'm not against ambiguity for ambiguity's sake, but it kind of, the film kind of has to justify the mystery a little bit. And I don't know if this film 100% did. It doesn't ruin the film. It doesn't mean it's an unworthy film. That's just my one criticism of it. But also out this week is Dumbo, which is the first of three live-action Disney cartoons coming out this year, ahead of Aladdin and The Lion King. This one, I don't remember the film, it's the original cartoon's only an hour long, so there's a lot added to this. It's all been Tim Burtonified. There's like a big circus. Danny DeVito's wearing a hat. There's some cute kids with a slightly ethereal quality to them, and I didn't get totally grabbed by this film. I felt like it was a bit laboured and a bit...
I just don't know how you can get cuter than the cartoon Dumbo. That's so cute. Kind of sad and cute.
Yeah. CGI is never going to be as cute as that.
Nah.
And it's not.
You know, not that. The love between that cartoon, but that cartoon flying elephant and the mummy elephant is just, aww.
There are moments I definitely felt that, what you're describing during this film. They get you in the gut, but sort of, that gets, it just didn't really feel transcendently warm-hearted. You know, it felt a little bit, calculated, and but you know, no one does anything wrong in the film.
Soundtrack any good?
Well, they sing that "Baby Be Mine" song from the original, and it's a very powerful moment. One weird thing about this film, I don't think it's benefiting from coming out after The Greatest Showman, because it's similarly about like a ragtag troupe.
Well, I mean,
old school circus performer types. And
I think most circuses are ragtag troops nowadays, aren't they? If you're not Cirque du Soleil, you're pretty much ragtag, aren't you?
Well, this film incorporates a lot of modern views of circuses. You know, like it has a whole thread about how circuses aren't fun for animals. And
just to rub it in, yeah.
And there's some labour issues at the heart of it as well.
All right.
Also out this week is a film called Thunder Road, which is very much worth highlighting. Kind of this actor wrote and directed it, and he stars in it as this policeman whose mum just died. And it's based on a short film, and the short film is him just giving this eulogy all in one shot at his mother's funeral, where he kind of like starts out normal, then kind of spazzes out a little bit. And that's become like the first scene of this film, and it's sort of more about a sort of a slow motion nervous breakdown of sorts. Very much worth checking out. Straddles the line between kind of awkward cringe and seriously emotional and genuinely funny in an interesting way.
All right, my friend. And have you heard anything, any good reports or bad reports or reports whatsoever about the TV series What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, that's getting a huge reception. I went to the,
good job.
The premiere Yay. Of it at South by Southwest last week, and the crowd there was in fits. And you can imagine, like, South by Southwest, they're going to love Taika and Jermaine, and boy, did they love them. And they did this kind of whole double act before the screening. Very cool. You can actually read about this entire experience in an article I wrote about that for flicks.co.nz.
Oh, that's handy.
So
cool.
Check that out. But yeah, I think it starts...
They do a good double act, those two. They do a good double act, I must say.
The show's really good, too. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't yet. I'm teetering on the edge of watching it.
It's a beautiful, smooth kind of transition of the tone of the film into an American TV show, which feels very New Zealand-y, despite having no overtly Kiwi element. It's got that it's a bit denser than the movie, just because there's less space and there's still a lot of jokes, but really cool.
How big a movie was the original in America?
In relative terms, it was massive for a very low budget.
Oh yeah, okay.
From New Zealand, it garnered a lot of box office. I mean, it wasn't breaking records, but it was one of those films that all the right people saw. You know,
yeah.
That's what got Taker on Marvel's radar for Thor. It's
crazy, eh? Isn't that crazy? Wow, cool.
Thor, as they say.
All right, hey. Now the phones are doing weird things, so I'm going to bid you farewell, my friend. I'll speak to you again this time next week. And that's how it happens. That's how it happens internationally, eh? On those.
The timing.
Bye,
though.
Fabian.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
95 BFM presents the skit.